I just heard that FX has a new original comedy coming out called Adults, which after watching the trailer feels all too familiar. Adults is a comedy that would feel relatable if you ever find humor in the struggles of being an adult in 2025. You know, like remembering your full social security number or to drink water, or perhaps having your third existential crisis of the month. Best part is that all episodes will be ready for your next weekend binge. Watch FX's Adults Wednesdays on FX, all episodes now streaming on Hulu.
All right, friends, welcome back to another episode of Two Idiot Girls. Woo-hoo. If we sound a little hoarse and maybe look like a couple of horses, we were up to like 2 a.m. at parties.
Yeah, don't remind me.
We went to a party for a really cool company named Cut, but we also went to a party for Rolling Stone that was honoring Drew as one of the creators in the issue. And I had to start off the episode with that because it was literally the coolest thing ever. Getting to go to that party. Not getting to go to the party, but getting to go to a party that's like honoring her and so many other people that people love on the app. So
that was pretty surreal.
This is like, we're not even getting paid to do this, but if you want to get Drew and other really cool creators in a fucking magazine, go to, we found ours at Barnes & Noble, and it's the one that has Mr. Beast, who, if you don't know who that is, it's a white man, and he's laying in a pile of money. And Drew and so many other really cool, like, what's his name?
Leo Gonzalez.
He's in it. Miguel's in it. Like, there's a bunch of really cute people in there. So make sure you check it out. Okay. Yeah. Had to promo it. It's very, very exciting.
Very exciting.
So because of the Rolling Stone party and 800 other events that Drew is going to this weekend, we've been caught behind the eight ball, if that's what the people say.
Yeah. Technically, we're not. We just forgot to submit another thing.
We forgot to ask you guys. So for next week's episode, we're going to send, I'm going to send it out today, so I don't fucking forget.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask, what did you say? It's like celebrity hot takes?
Yeah. What are your...
polarizing opinions or...
Yeah. What are your... Like, I would say celebrity hot takes.
Okay. So
like, it's more all-encompassing.
Like, what's an example? Like, do you have one?
Like, if someone... I don't believe in this. This isn't me. But I'm saying, like, Harry Styles is overrated. Like, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something that we can all, like... we can sink our teeth into.
Yeah, but that's, we're not gonna do like misogynistic ones or racist ones. So when people go,
yeah, nothing,
Kim Kardashian has no talent.
Yeah, okay. Like nothing, nothing triggering, nothing like extremely polarizing in that sense.
Yeah.
In like an offensive sense.
Yeah.
In like a silly, goofy, funny sense.
Yeah.
Like that's just one, that's an example. Like something, like Jack Harlow's like really.
I find him attractive. Yeah.
Yeah. Like people are really polarizing about Jack Harlow.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a good one. Yeah.
He's like a good rapper and whether or not he's attractive.
Yeah.
Same with like Chris Evans.
That's the most conventionally attractive person in the world.
I know. But remember like when I was on my show and we talked to Dom, I was like, prove it. Date a brown girl.
Yeah. You know well, I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's
stuff
different.
Stuff like that. Like yeah. I'm just saying like, those are like things that we can all like laugh and giggle about.
Yeah.
And it's not
that you're
like,
not like, I think he's a terrible person.
Yeah. 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 Stuff like that. Or like Timothée Chalamet, like is like secretly a douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like who he plays in movies is not,
he's
who,
not
he
who he
is
in
real
life.
Okay. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Okay. Got it. So look out for that link, friends. Okay. So for this episode, because we forgot to submit that question to y'all, we're going to do some more of your advice questions because we still keep getting them in, even though we did the advice episodes a million years ago, or what feels like a million years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So our first question comes from Melissa, and she said, I think you already did an episode on this, but how do you stop overthinking, taking things so seriously, and how to build conflict, sorry, and how to confront conflict without feeling so stupid?
Well, it really just depends. It depends on what you're like, in which avenue you're addressing this. So like confronting stuff or like taking things seriously. Are you talking like jokes? You know what I mean? Like people making fun of you? Or are you talking like serious things?
Well, it says conflict. So I would think it'd be relatively serious, right?
Yeah. But she said not to take things too seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that could apply to like conflict.
Yeah.
Because then it would be like someone attacking you and like taking it personally.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? I mean, I would just, we've learned this actually through our parents, and the business that they have, but like if someone is critical or like critiquing your life or being very like confrontational with you for no reason, right? Mm. And they're giving you unsolicited advice. Mm. You should look at that person and ask yourself, are they living the life that I want?
Yeah.
No, then I'm not going to take advice from this person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to receive or absorb any of their projection or criticism, because it doesn't mean anything to me, because I don't want to live like that person.
Yeah.
So their words are worth nothing to me. Mm-hmm. So like, also, but if you're talking in the sense of jokes, that's going to take some time to not take things too seriously.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a good thing if you don't, because then nothing can really hurt you.
Yeah.
Like us. Ah.
I know. I also noticed too that she said how to stop overthinking. When you figure that out, Melissa,
you let me know.
You let us know.
I can't help you there.
I think overthinking, because I tend to overthink a lot. Like, I think both of us are very bad overthinkers. No, I think I'm worse than you.
No.
You think we're the same?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just in different ways.
Yeah.
Like my overthinking.
Go ahead. Yeah, what's yours?
My overthinking is like the world is falling around me.
Yes.
Yours is like
everyone hates me.
Yeah. 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 So that's what I was going to say.
Oh, I know. You all hate me.
Yeah.
That's literally me. Yeah.
No, literally that's the difference between our overthinking.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And you know what that is? Anxiety.
Yeah, it just manifests in different ways, honestly. But like, that's why I don't give a fuck if people don't like me.
Right.
But I do care.
If the world's falling around.
If like my plans aren't going to
work
out.
So how do you navigate that? Like, that's some good advice right there. When you feel like that, because I feel like yesterday kind of felt like that at certain points, and it was just because
I feel like that today.
It was just really
how I navigate it is I talk to other people.
Sure.
Yeah. So like I communicate my anxiety to them, like what I'm worried about, that kind of stuff. I communicate that to someone who is a third party objective. So obviously they all are, because it's me in my own brain. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk to someone else, like you or my boyfriend or my mom, right? And I'll like communicate to them how I'm feeling, and then they'll validate me.
Yeah.
And they'll say, I understand why you feel that way, but I don't think you need to be worried because blah blah blah.
Yeah.
That's what they do for me every single time. So same thing with you when you're feeling
anxious. I mean, mine has helped me so much with navigating everyone hates me or thinks I'm stupid or annoying, mm-hmm. is therapy.
Yeah.
My therapist, one of the biggest things we worked on was irrational thinking.
Yeah.
And she's like, one's like, I'm ugly. That's like something I always think.
Yeah. Jason and has the like, most irrational.
She's like, who told you that? And then I go, no.
Exactly. I've been telling Jason that
it's
forever.
Like, she's like, oh, like I can't remember what the worksheet, she gave me fucking homework to do. So I had to write down all my irrational thoughts. And as I'm writing them out, I feel so fucking stupid.
Because none of them are real. They're just a manifestation of your own anxiety, being mean to yourself.
Like, but see, instead of being mean and me projecting that onto everyone else,
she internalizes it.
I just literally destroy the inside of my body.
It's like she internalizes it, which is different.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the coping mechanism is much different than I think other people.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I internalize it too. So that's how I get myself sick.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, Melissa, I think to help you stop overthinking is to take a bigger look at what you're thinking about and seeing if it really looks the way that you think it looks. Mm-hmm. Taking things so seriously. I think everyone takes their life way too seriously. I mean, we saw that at the party last night. People be taking this stuff way too seriously. I'm just trying to have fun.
Yeah, literally.
Life is too short to overthink and take things so seriously. And then how to navigate conflict without feeling stupid. I think prioritizing how you feel in a way that doesn't like not
hurt,
care about the other person.
Others. Yeah. Yeah. Or invalidate others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would also say too, like, a perfect example of me and Dayson working in tandem with like, because our anxieties manifest very differently. But I think that's why we work so well together, because we're able to help each other when we need it.
Yeah. So we went to the party yesterday?
No, not that one. Oh, okay. I was saying like when we left Rolling Stone last night, Dayson was kind of drunk. So she was like being silly. But like leaving that party, like it was, someone literally described it as like the Titanic, because trying to get on the vans to go back, like they took you on these little shuttles or whatever. So we were waiting and this fucking dumbass told me, like, I was about to get in the car.
Well, who, me?
Yeah, you, oh, dumbass. No. We were about to get in the car and
we're
she was like
Manny and them too.
Yeah, I was going with Manny and all of them, and they were, she was like, no, Drew, that car's like for celebrities. I'm all, bitch, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, normal ass people are in there. And then we literally missed it, and we missed three more cars after that because people were bum rushing the doors. And then she was standing there being silly. I was like, Dace, I need you to pull it together. I literally told her, Dace, pull it together. And then she stopped.
Tell them who was in the car.
Thundercat was in the car.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not getting in the car.
Okay, so everybody else got in there. Who gives a fuck? I didn't even know that was him. And he didn't seem to care. So it's not like he was like, everybody get out of this van.
That was funny, dude.
He didn't care. So that's why I was like, I didn't see him. And I didn't know that that was him, obviously. But I also didn't see him. Once I saw him, I was like, okay, yeah, that's for sure him. But anyways, Dason goes... Dason stops being silly because I told her, pull it together, bitch, because we have to get in a van. And then she goes, I got to stop talking because Drew thinks I'm being annoying. I never said that. And I literally turn around and I go, I don't think you're being annoying. I just need you to shut your trap so we can get on a van. And she was like, okay. And that's it. Like, you see how the anxiety, it flips almost instantly. And then I'm like, I have to tell her, that's not what I think. I don't think that about you. I don't think you're being annoying. I think you need to shut your face so we can get on a van. That's different.
No, and then us going to the party, Drew was stressed because we left late, like, to get to the first one. And I was telling her, dog, you're the guest. You're a guest. Like, I think it'll be fine. And she's like, okay. And then we turn the air on and then we're laughing. So
yeah, exactly. See what I mean? Two different sides of the coin. Yeah. That's how you got to eat. Got to surround yourself with people who can help you in those moments. Because you can't help it that your brain acts like that. Or you feel that way. And there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. But it always, I think, helps you to see it from another perspective when someone else helps you and validates you and doesn't make you feel stupid.
Yeah. I totally agree. And then they can show you the other side of what's really happening. So I told her, you probably...
Exactly.
I'm sorry you hate me was basically what I was telling her last night. And she's I didn't say that. I just said, pull it together. We got to get on the van. That's it.
Exactly. Easy peasy. You got to smack those thoughts away, like, immediately.
I have no problem smacking them that.
Okay. I just heard that FX has a new original comedy coming out called Adults, which after watching the trailer feels all too familiar. Adults is a comedy that will feel relatable if you ever find humor in the struggles of being an adult in 2025. You know, like remembering your full social security number or to drink water or perhaps having your third existential crisis of the month. Best part is that all episodes will be ready for your next weekend binge. Watch FX's Adults Wednesdays on FX, all episodes now streaming on Hulu.
So this one's from someone named Angel, and she said, she's struggling with taking care of my family, my husband, and still taking care of myself. How do I keep my identity while still being all of these things? My family has old school Mexican values, so taking care of my family is something that's been instilled on me and I take pride in. I want to ensure my marriage stays happy and healthy without overwhelming him with family issues.
Well, first off, if it's someone you're married to, then it shouldn't be a burden to talk to him about your family issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get not wanting to burden him, but it shouldn't be perceived that way because that's just simply not the case. Like, I mean, when you're in a partnership with somebody, like...
Yeah, well, maybe she just feels like that.
That's what I'm
saying.
Because
that's the type of person she's like...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
She's like, this is my shit. Why would I, you know?
Yeah, I would assume and I would hope that he's not telling you, I don't want to hear about this shit. You know what I mean? But on the flip side of that, I do understand not wanting to like constantly be negative and like surround yourself with negativity. Mm-hmm. So it's all about balance.
Yeah.
If you're feeling some type of way and you want to be able to talk about it with someone that you love and care about, then that's okay. But if it's like a repetitive every single day, something negative and terrible is happening, then I can see why maybe that person wouldn't want to be subjected to that anymore. Yeah. So I think it's like, it's a real balancing act. It's a give and take, I think.
Yeah. I think she talked about like, how do I take care of myself while trying to take care of everyone else? Mm-hmm. I think you can't take care of everyone else if you're not taking care of yourself.
Exactly. So. You can't be at 100% if you're giving everybody else everything.
Yeah.
Everything that you physically have and are made of. If you're constantly giving to others, it's going to start to wane on you eventually.
Yeah.
But I would say that, I mean, I guess I would say to prioritize yourself, which is kind of like stupid because you're already, it's like an obvious thing, but it could be anything.
Yeah.
Like if you make your own, make yourself a coffee first before you start making breakfast for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's like little shit like that. Like, and then you can build it.
Like little moments throughout the day for you. Yeah.
But then you also have to think too, that you feeling guilty for prioritizing yourself is a patriarchal effect.
Ooh.
It's like, that's them trying to make you feel like you taking care of yourself is you being selfish.
Yeah.
But they never make men feel like that. They only make women feel like that. Especially mothers.
Yeah.
So, like,
well, I don't think she's a mother, but yeah.
She said, how do I be a good mom?
She said my family. No, she didn't say mom. I misread that. Sorry.
Okay. So you're not, obviously, if you are a mom or you're not a mom, doesn't really matter. It's not, but moms especially get that because they have kids.
And which, moms of color.
Exactly. And being a mom is the most selfless thing you could do in this world,
yeah.
right? But that doesn't mean that you got to let yourself rot internally and externally to be a good mom.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what that means. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can't be a good mom, like you just said. It's impossible to be a great mom when you're not giving to yourself too.
A good partner.
A good partner, yeah. Just a good person in general. If you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of others the way that you would like to.
Yeah.
So remind yourself that taking care of yourself is not you being selfish. Those are two very different things.
Yes.
But expecting you to give everybody everything and never take care of yourself, that's selfish of whoever, if somebody is making you feel that way. So start with little things and work your way up to, like, maybe you go get your hair done like once a month, or maybe you go get your nails done every once in a while. Maybe you just do something simple at home, like do your own nails at home. Like there's many different ways that self-care can manifest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just find out what that is for you. Like, even if you go sit outside by yourself and read or something, like that's something that's for you. And you should make sure to put it into your daily routine.
And I would definitely, in regards to like overwhelming him with family issues.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we're in spaces like that, it's so easy to absorb a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
I would definitely take a good look at what's being said around you. Sometimes, like, especially when you're shit talking or
it's easy to get wrapped up into it.
Then be like, does this serve me to talk about it a lot?
Yeah.
If it's like my parents are sick, that's different.
Yeah.
But if it's like, oh my, like, cause you know, families are families.
Yeah.
So-and-so's cousin's girlfriend broke up with him and now she has a new baby dad or whatever. Like,
and it's just constant
negativity that doesn't like have anything really to do with your family. I would make sure you're looking at exactly what's happening or being said to you.
Yeah.
And seeing how it affects you. Because if it makes you feel bad and then you're telling your husband you feel bad, you told him, and then it's making you feel worse, then you're definitely not going to take care of yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's a really good point. That's what, that's kind of what I meant too.
Yeah.
But it's good to elaborate on it because that's a really good point.
You know what I mean?
It's really easy to get wrapped up in talking shit, like, because it's natural to gossip.
Especially when it's family.
Come on. Gossiping is not exclusive to women. Like, we all be talking shit. It just, it is what it is. But it's also, like she said, it's a good reminder to be like, okay, how long have I been doing this? Is this serving me? Right. Is this like something that's
Long have I been doing this?
Yeah. Cause it's easy to talk shit for hours.
Yeah.
Like, especially about people like in your family.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
and anything involving drama and shit.
And all of that can be, like Dayson said, extremely draining, like after a while, especially to a partner, like someone who may not be involved in your family as much as you are. So we, you know, everyone loves good cheese, May, but at the same time,
at what cost?
Yeah. At the same time, you could keep a lid on it and make sure to not like, and like she said, it's like gossipy shit. It's not like serious ailments or anything like that.
Like if your grandma's sick or something
and you're stressed
about taking care of them, that's different. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. She's just talking like drama.
Yeah.
Like drama-rama, but, which we all have in our families. So yeah, I would say to make sure you prioritize yourself, whatever that looks like. Remind yourself that taking care of yourself is not selfish, right? It's selfless, actually. And last, to make sure that you're keeping a lid on how much shit you be talking.
Yeah.
Cause that
I think, just having a making a conscious effort.
Yeah.
To
cause
see
if
what
someone's
you're talking
like,
about.
I'm so tired of talking about this. You might be like, oh my God, you don't want to hear me. You don't want to listen to me.
Yeah. Your
and you might and you might internalize that, but it could
might overthink it.
Yeah. There you go. But it could just be, you know, like it's just draining to hear negativity all the time.
Yeah.
So just be cognizant and it's all about balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just heard that FX has a new original comedy coming out called Adults, which after watching the trailer feels all too familiar. Adults is a comedy that will feel relatable if you ever find humor in the struggles of being an adult in 2025. You know, like remembering your full social security number or to drink water or perhaps having your third existential crisis of the month. Best part is that all episodes will be ready for your next weekend binge. Watch FX's Adults Wednesdays on FX, all episodes now streaming on Hulu.
Okay, so this one's from Keely, and she said, sometimes I feel a sense of displacement in the Polynesian community because I can't speak Samoan fluently and I'm Afghasi. And so for people who don't speak Samoan, what does that mean?
I have Samoan. Technically, like phonetically or linguistically, it means you're half Samoan. It doesn't necessarily mean you're half anything else.
Oh, okay. So you're not full,
but yeah, it just means you're half Samoan.
Okay.
But you, so you could be Afghasi, like, and be like half Hispanic, you could be half Black, you could be half white. Like, it just depends. But.
Okay. And she said, although I danced for Nono Sina and felt connected to the culture in that aspect, I still grew up isolated from other Polynesians in a predominantly white / Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel this way? It feels like I've had an identity crisis my whole life. When I read this to you earlier, she's like, did you write this? Because same, girly.
Yeah, I mean, we did because we didn't grow up. I mean, we grew up with family, but, like, we didn't go to school with a lot of Samoan kids.
No, it was predominantly white and Hispanic.
Yeah, until we went to high school. And even then, like, there were more Polynesian people, but there weren't a ton.
Yeah.
It was max, there was probably 10. Like 15 of us. Yeah.
If that.
And some of them transferred out eventually. So, like, I would say at the very core of us, there's probably like 8 of us.
Yeah.
If that. Like,
that made it to the end?
That made it all 4 years.
No, I'd say less than 8. I'd
probably
say
like 5 or 6.
5 or 6.
Yeah, probably like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then when I graduated, because Dayson and the other Samoan people graduated before me,
it's probably like three,
it was two, three, two, two, just yeah. Two of us. Yeah. So yeah, we get it. That was a big reason why I wanted to go to UH, like when I went to the University of Hawaii, because although I had always been connected familial to my culture, I wanted to like experience it in school. Like I wanted to like hang out with other Samoan people and Polynesian people in general. So when I went to UH, like I did that a little bit more, but it still wasn't, what I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as much as I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. But now, like, being somebody who Samoan people love is, like, surreal. So I'm not saying that's going to, like, that could have very well happened for you, too. It's possible, but I get how you feel. The feeling is very isolating.
I think what I loved about the way we grew up, because even though we grew up with like just our family, our parents have always done such a good job at making us feel really close to our culture.
Yeah. And even for everyone who doesn't know, like obviously we're Samoan, but like my mom's Afghasi, my dad's full. So like we're like 3/4 Samoan.
Yeah. 75%.
Yeah. Truly. So just, that's just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
We're a Samoan as fuck my family. Yeah. Like we're so, very Samoan.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even though like we only grew up around like our cousins and we weren't around them as much as they were around each other.
Yeah.
Our parents have always done such a good job at making us feel really close to our culture, whether
that's, and always taking us to stuff too.
Yeah. Whether that's like making us go to events or like, my mom like encouraged us so much in high school to do a Polynesian club. So we made one up and we would dance at all the stuff. And then like my aunt would send us dance, cause she's a professional dancer, would send us choreography to dance. Like my parents always just tried to do different stuff like that to make us
connected.
Like kind of connected and intertwined within it.
Yeah. I get feeling like it's, especially, you're not enough though.
Yeah. Especially since you don't speak Samoan, cause I don't at all. I know very small words.
Yeah.
I do
like conversationally speak Samoan.
Like when you say, ¿cómo estás? Bien. Like that's true in Samoan.
Yeah. Like I know more Spanish than I know Samoan.
¿Cómo te llamas? Yeah.
Yeah. But
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. We all speak Spanish, which is funny. But
especially we want to make each other laugh, which is so dumb because I wish it could just be in Samoan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's one of my goals this year is to speak it fluently. Like frontwards and backwards, be able to like speak it and understand it. Because I'm very minimal right now, but I learned someone because I went to, when I went to college, they offered it as a language course, which I was so excited about.
Can you believe they didn't offer that at the University of Oregon?
They honestly should have. They
seems kind of odd.
They honestly should have. There's a huge Samoan population in the PNW. There's
See, I didn't know until I went to one Polynesian, like they had like a meeting and I was like, where are all of you? You don't go to school here. I've never seen any of you guys.
Yeah.
And that's why I found out they had like Pacific Studies classes and I got to take, that was like my last class before I graduated. It was so cool.
Yeah, I took when I went to UH, I don't know if it's still a requirement, but it was when I went there. Like they require you to take a Hawaiian studies course because obviously you're living in Hawaii, so they want you to educate yourself on where you're at, which I think is really
fucking respect
cool.
The land. Yeah.
Yeah, you learn a lot about like the origin of Hawaii and also like the culture and why it's important to be cognizant of like the land and all of that. So it's a requirement to take it. I don't know if it still is, but it was when I went to school. So I took Hawaiian studies, and my kumu was very, very educational. Like that dude was so, he actually did Olelo professionally, which is pretty fucking cool.
What is that?
Olelo's like the
singing?
The singing that they do.
Or chanting or
whatever. Yeah, it's like a sing and a chant. It's like a mix, but he did that professionally too. And he was always barefoot, which was also cool.
Like walking around school?
Yeah, he was always barefoot.
His feet are probably like made of like leather.
Like truly like a Flintstone dude. like he's just like impervious to it because he's like one with the land.
In college, I took a class on pirates. And pirates didn't wear shoes on the boats because they would slip and fall. Oh. So they would rub tar on the bottom of their feet to make them sticky.
Ew.
So that's what that guy reminds me of.
He was really cool though. And I learned a lot in that class. And then I took like a Pacific Island Studies course, which I learned a lot in. I learned a lot more about Micronesia and Melanesia. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
And Polynesia. So obviously I knew a lot about Polynesia, but not nearly as much as I know now.
Yeah.
And
then, one of the coolest ones I took in my Pacific Studies class, because it was like a 201 class. Like I wished I had known about it before so I could have taken all of them.
Yeah.
Was we learned about gender identity and sexuality.
Yeah. In Polynesia.
Throughout all of Polynesia, which was really cool.
Yeah. I learned about that in that class too. Mm-hmm. They, and there's also a lot of like, misinformation about Polynesian.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it's because of colonization and also
anthropologists,
like white anthropologists coming and interpreting things and then writing them down as fact and then being passed down for generations.
Yeah, like, you know, Margaret Mead?
Yeah, I was just about to bring up Margaret Mead. Fuck that bitch.
Like, Samoan people were literally, they were so fucking funny. We're being stupid, like being dumb, like around each other. And they're like, this is just how we are. Yeah. And she believed them and wrote it. And everyone in America was like studying us like
aliens. Men. Yeah. Like Margaret Mead literally passed down this this like thing, this theory, or like this, it wasn't passed as theory, it was passed as fact.
Yeah.
That like if someone, okay, so in Samoan culture, I've said this before, it's very matriarchal.
Yeah.
So we hold women in very high regard, but in that sense also men do all the cooking and cleaning. That's a true fact. Mm-hmm. And women take care of babies and the elderly. So she wrote down this like study, and I don't know what you would call it, like anthropological research.
Like a report or something. A report,
yeah. She basically said that Samoan families, if there's no women born into the family, so they have no baby girls, what they do is the youngest boy they raise as a girl, and then they teach her to take care of babies and elderly. And that has been passed down for
up
literal generations.
Yeah.
My actual teacher asked me if that was true.
Who?
My teacher at school.
At the UH? He doesn't know if that's not true.
It was a girl. And yeah. Well, she said.
Was she white?
No.
What was she?
She was Guamanian.
What?
Which I also found odd. So I don't know if she was asking me for real or if she was asking me if I knew about it. Like,
yeah, because a white girl, or she might have been Latina, I can't remember. I went to college with her and she said, hey, I learned in my class that the youngest boy is raised to be a girl. So
that's okay. My teacher was.
And so she's like, so is your brother going to be raised like a girl? I'm like, you use your fucking head. You don't know.
Well, also, there's two. Even if that was true, there's two women
I didn't know that part. They just said if the youngest kid is a son, this was how I was explaining.
See what
me.
I mean? It's like the longest game of telephone.
And it just
like,
keeps getting warped.
Worse. It gets warped and more and more and more. She literally asked me that and I was like, no, that's not true. When I was like 17, like 18 at the time, I was like,
use your head. Why would that
was
be
like,
true?
No, that's not true. And then she goes, oh, well, maybe not now, but like back in the day. No, bitch. And I literally left class, called my dad.
I did too.
And I asked my dad, I was like, hey, is like, I said, I told her no, but
tell
like
that Margaret Mead bitch, I'm looking for her.
Yeah. And he goes, no, that's not fucking true. And I was like, I know, because my dad was raising someone too. So like,
and he only has one sister. So he goes, do you think my youngest brother was raised like a woman? I'm all, I'm not saying, I'm telling you.
Well, that's why I told him, and that theory upsets, it's upsetting to us for obvious reasons, because it's a misinterpretation of our culture.
And it's transphobic. I was just about to say, it's transphobic.
Yeah. But also, like, this is very common with indigenous cultures in general, but there's always a third gender, typically within indigenous. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon for us to have a third gender. Mm-hmm. We have one too in our culture. So does Hawaiian culture, Native American culture, yeah. Right? And I'm sure there's some within other Polynesian, Melanesian cultures.
I was just saying Tongan, they do too.
Yeah, see, yeah. So like we all have a third gender. So gender and sexuality is understood in our culture much differently than it is in Western civilization, yeah. For obvious reasons, before we all got colonized, right? Yeah. So before Christianity,
religion, before Mormonism,
before all of that came and really fucked our like ideology of gender and sexuality, like we also have that as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, learning more about our culture through that, even though I knew that, but it was giving me a much more nuanced understanding of it. And it was understanding it not from a homophobic lens.
Yeah.
Because that's how we learn it through Western civilization. Yeah. It's like through homophobia or transphobia.
I just heard that FX has a new original comedy coming out called Adults, which after watching the trailer feels all too familiar. Adults is a comedy that will feel relatable if you ever find humor in the struggles of being an adult in 2025. You know, like remembering your full social security number or to drink water, or perhaps having your third existential crisis of the month. Best part is that all episodes will be ready for your next weekend binge. Watch FX's Adults Wednesdays on FX, all episodes now streaming on Hulu.
So but, back to this girl's question.
But we went off on the rails a little bit, but you get what I'm saying.
Every episode I'm going to talk about how much I fucking hate Margaret Mead. No, but that's why, like, I can't remember what else they did, like our people, like our ancestors or whoever was there that she was studying.
Yeah, she just like,
but they were doing like, they were like doing stuff like literally to like trick her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so that was like one of them, the things that that's like, for whatever reason, the biggest theory that came out of her research on someone.
It was. And people believed it.
But they literally told other anthropologists, like, we're literally just fucking with it. They're just being funny.
And listen, at the end of the day, someone's
a good joke.
They're going to tell you a joke. I'll tell you that. They're going to commit to a
I'm
bit.
I'm here for a bit.
Listen, everyone who's Polynesian and meets me in real life, they literally are like, bitch. Like I make them laugh because that's just how we are. Like big goofy energy. You know what I'm saying? Like if you know any Polynesian person, like they're always laughing and they're always making jokes.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, they're going to tell you a joke. I'll tell you that much.
Sure. But that's you.
That warps their that warps our fucking cultural history.
How we're written in the history books.
I'll tell you something else about someone's. They'll be petty till the day they die. I know.
They're like, literally, we're just fucking with her.
I'll tell you what. They'll hold a grudge. That's what a Samoan person will do. They will hold a grudge.
Yeah. That's me against Margaret Mead. Tell that bitch I'm looking for.
Truly.
But anyways, how do you feel connected to your culture? So I see that you did Nona Sina. We wanted to do dance so much growing up, but we were too busy.
Yeah.
So then we just did it at school, like I said.
I wanted to so badly though. But I think a big portion of that also was wanting to be closer to culture. Like, I understand completely that like desire.
Yeah. There's a disconnect almost that you like are trying to fill. Yeah.
That like gravitational pull, especially if, when you go see family and they all go to the same school as each other and they all spend every day together.
They go to church together. They all live by each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we never had that. We never lived close to our family. Like we always had to commute to go see them, which we did very often, but it wasn't the same as like living next door to them. Like some of our family, our San Diego family, shout out. They all live like down the street from each other, we grew up with them too. Cause we would, but even though we lived an hour away, we would drive
every weekend
to go see them. Yeah. We would go out to see them and we like grew up together in that sense, but it wasn't the same as like them growing up together next door to each other, going to school together, doing sports together.
The Samoan population in San Diego is like out of control. Unreal. You know?
So like we totally understand feeling like far away.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but like, how do you stay closer to it? Like
there's so much stuff online. I'm not even joking. Like a different, like an account I follow called Empowered PI or something like that. Mm-hmm. They post plenty of different, like Is it Talanoa? How do you say that? Is that how you say it? T-A-L-A-N-O-A.
Yeah, it's Talanoa.
Is that like, someone or
Talanoa? I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, they host different like seminars and stuff with different like Polynesian leaders that like talk about different things. Like I've been to a couple of different queer ones. I've been to ones for different trans people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they have different themed ones of people who look like us that are trying to do the same thing. And then there's people like you who are looking for stuff like that. So you can be connecting with others.
I mean? Totally get that though. Cause someone asked me, if it's nice to be with someone else who's someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, because there's just something about it. Like they just understand, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like there are certain parts of Samoan culture that you won't get unless you're a part of it.
Yeah.
And like, here's like a perfect example. We are any Samoan child, like I'm only speaking on behalf of Samoans, but I'm sure it applies to like Polynesian people. Samoan children are very, giving or very, I guess, responsive to parents, right? We respect elders like through and through.
Yeah.
So like anything our family needs, we're going to do. Like mm-hmm. if they need me to do it, I'm going to go do it. Like it doesn't matter if it's far, if it's inconvenient, it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to do it. And that's what a lot of Polynesian kids do, specifically Samoan kids.
Yeah.
So that understanding is something that's so like, I don't know. It's like almost, I don't want to say it's exclusive to Samoan families, but like it's something that's so strong. Like,
yeah, like I wasn't even thinking you were going to say that, but because that's just how we are.
Yeah, like it's just like, it's so hard to describe, but all my Samoan like friends will understand what I'm talking about. Like, even if you don't want to do it, you're going to do it because they asked you to do it.
Even when you get older. So yeah, I'm 28.
It doesn't matter.
And my mom's like, we're going to so-and-so's house next Friday. And I go, okay, put it on my calendar.
I'm telling you, like,
I'll be there.
Like saying like, no, I don't want to.
That doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist in our house. Like it truly doesn't. Like you're literally like, okay. Like
and it's not even like a, cause you know, you have to, it's cause you want, it's like, I want to,
you want to, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to explain because it sounds like you're being told what to do, which you are to an extent, mm-hmm. but it's something that you want to do because you know, it's going to make them happy and you want to be a part of it because it's family.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay. Yeah. Like, no, yeah, that sounds fun. I want to go. I'm telling you, like someone,
I know now that you're explaining it doesn't, that's the real Mandela effect. Right? It doesn't make, there's no explanation
There's truly no, like, it's so hard to describe. Like when I describe it, I used to describe this to my white friends, right?
I think it's just because we're born with such a deeply ingrained amount of respect and love for our families.
Yeah.
It's like I'm born like that. Like I wasn't, like I was raised with it.
Yeah.
But my mom didn't sit me down and say, hey, every time I tell you to do something, we're going to, like, it was just always in my brain that that's what we're doing.
The closeness is something that I'm like, it's all part of it. Like, like feeling so like the gravitational pull your family has. Like, that's why a lot of Samoan kids, even like any other Polynesian kids, can't move away from their families. Like
I'm one of them.
Yeah. Like, you know, like same. Yeah. That's why I said, like, if you know a Samoan person, like, you know how like they make that joke, like if you marry some person, you marry their whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Like it's the truest thing ever. Like, you're literally marrying the whole thing because they can't be away from their family. And it's just because that's how much love we have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, when I did my story on Tua,
mm-hmm.
like his whole family had to move with him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise he wasn't going to perform good because he needs them. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, there's something wrong
that's
with
literally
that.
You.
That's you too.
I know. No, but I'm thinking like, how you're going to Vegas and you're
oh my God, dude. Yeah. I'm dying. Dude,
just let me come and I'll sleep on the ground.
That's why I was like, I'm literally going to die with all my family, dude. But that's my point. Like, it's just like the support system is so ingrained in us.
Yeah.
That's why we sometimes like our parents have to like push us to go do new things because we're like, nah, it's cool, I'll just stay here with you guys. Like, we do the whole time, nah, it's okay, I'll just stay here with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, no, go outside and go make other fucking friends. Like, go make other friends, leave us alone, our parents. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Samoan kids live at home for a long time. Samoan kids sometimes get married and have kids and still live at home.
Yeah,
like,
multi-generational housing is very
common.
Yeah, and
that's a minority thing, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not just, that's not exclusive to us, but like, anyways, my point in saying that is that if you stay close to your family, like, if whoever your parent is that's Samoan, talk to them, like, ask them to learn more about your culture.
Yeah, like, both our parents are Samoan.
Yeah.
But my dad lived in Samoa for a really long time.
Yeah.
So he has obviously a different experience from my mom.
Yeah.
But I love asking him stories. Like, he tells us the most insane things about someone.
Someone people are crazy, man. Like, they're fucking crazy. But even stuff like when I got my tattoo, like, yeah. I felt very close to my culture. Like,
oh, that's stuff, cool. Yeah. I know, I've been wanting to get one.
Yeah, that's why, like, all my tattoos that I'm going to get past this one are all going to be tribal, because that makes me feel close to my culture.
You
don't
want white girl tattoos?
No.
I'm trying to get a couple of white girl tattoos. I'm excited.
I don't want... What about me makes you think that I want a white girl tattoo, dude? Like, nothing about... That's why, like, all my tattoos, I want them to be someone specific or mm-hmm. tied to someone culture, because that just makes me feel good.
Yeah.
So, like, our tattoo artist is someone, too. Like, someone is fuck. Shout out Bodhi, right? Mm. Bodhi. But, you know, like, stuff like that makes me feel close to my culture. It's all dependent on you. But I get the isolation and seeking like the
community,
refuge
almost.
And
yeah.
community. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. But you can follow other creators. Like, Crit is someone that is a wonderful.
Yeah, Christian Schmidt or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what would Crit do? K-R-I-T.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
We love him.
Yeah.
And he's someone too.
Yeah.
Obviously,
and queer.
Obviously, we're both someone yeah. creators.
Right. Yeah, you should be following us, Keely. Who else?
Dinah Tui.
Oh,
Dina,
yeah.
Dina Tui.
Is it
Tui
Ayana or something?
Yeah.
Like that? Yeah.
She's also one. You should seek out other Polynesian creators, like ones that either talk about culture or maybe just talk in
Stanson.
General.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Afua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stanson. He's really cute.
Stanson Afua is a great one to follow too, because he's very much so, he operates within both worlds, right?
He's self-classy too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So he operates within both worlds, like Western civilization, obviously, and then obviously being Samoan. So those follow some creators. Like, now with the internet, you could like seek community on there. Like, it always helps me. I totally get that feeling though.
Yeah.
It sucks feeling like that. But it's not gonna last forever. I'm assuming you're younger than us.
I think so.
I felt like that aggressively when I was younger, especially when in my teens, like when I was like 16, 17, I was searching so desperately for like I don't know what it was, because I had family, I had my immediate family.
It's like a sense of community, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I just don't know why I was like searching for more and more and more. But I think it's just because I was getting older, so I wanted to learn more about my culture. But like going to school and taking classes, that's why we talked about that. Like,
well, I think it's too, when you're young, you don't really know who you are yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you're like, oh, and I'm not even Samoan enough.
Yeah.
I hate myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's why I think she mentioned an identity crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So like I feel that. But like, you know, those are all just ways that you can seek culture, cultural refuge,
right?
You can find other people to relate to. You could talk to them, hopefully,
learn
or just watch them.
Yeah.
Learn from them, take classes.
Yeah. There's books you could read.
Like me and Billy are making it our goal that before the end of this year that we're going to learn someone fluently. Mostly so we can talk shit in public.
That's my dream. So I'm on that train right there.
We do that with the very little someone that we do speak.
Yeah.
But we're trying to learn more, so.
I know. Or we use Espanol.
Yeah, or we use Spanish, but no one's going to believe that me and Billy are Spanish. So that's like, that's another way too that you can feel very close, is to learn someone. It's kind of hard, but I know they offer some classes online, but they also... say that it's a lot easier to speak Samoan when you're talking to someone who can speak it.
Oh, okay.
So our dad can speak Samoan fluently. Mm-hmm. So he told us, like, as soon as we start learning, he'll start talking to us in Samoan. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way to learn, is to speak with someone. So those are our tips. It's a little long-winded, but you know.
I know. Thank you, Keely, for sending in that question, because that's super vulnerable and like definitely a very specific experience that we have lived.
We feel you. Yeah, I feel you.
Especially the growing up in a predominantly white Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. That's what you said. Did you write this one in days? Okay, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Two Idiot Girls. Yeesh. Thank you for listening. You can find this podcast anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can watch the video version on our YouTube channel at Two Idiot Girls. And please look out for our next question that we're going to be sending out to y'all on Celebrity Hot Takes.
Yes.
But other than that, I hope you all have a...
I gotta get it in there. I didn't say it once this episode.
I hope you all have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
five new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.